Let's launch hour two, Backbone Radio, on this April 7th, 2024. These windy days across Colorado. Goodness gracious, don't you just love it? I want to talk about the vibe shift here for just a moment. And I try to start every hour with host Dunn bloviating just for a moment or two about some topic or another. Of course, I do that the entire show, but that applies double at the start of an hour. So hang on the phone lines, if you would, momentarily, and I do appreciate that. But you can feel a vibe shift, and when you groove the vibes, you got to have your sensitive antennae out there grooving the vibes of the national discourse. You know, talking to your friends and your social contacts, and kind of getting a sense of how people are looking at things. And I do sense this. I do think that the old fake leftist narratives are running on fumes, ladies and gentlemen. I think the Russia hoax, and you start adding up the hoaxes all together, and people, you know, they step back and they realize that, my gosh, you know, I mean, none of that stuff was actually true and valid, and even J6 is falling apart altogether. They're on the run on all these narratives. And at some point, you start to have just more and more millions of people snapping out of it and sort of waking up and saying, yeah, come on. I mean, wasn't that crazy, all that stuff that was going on back then? But they're going to try to crank it all up again and more so. But an individual, a writer named Santiago Pliego, has written over on Substack an essay called Vibe Shift, and it really caught Tucker Carlson's attention. And they had an interview, which I believe was released yesterday. That's when I saw it. And Santiago says this, quote, "The vibe shift I'm talking about is the speaking of previously unspeakable truths, the noticing of previously suppressed facts. I'm talking about the give you feel when the walls of propaganda and bureaucracy start to move as you push, the very visible dust kicked up in the air as experts and fact checkers scramble to hold on to decaying institutions. The cautious but electric rush of energy when dictatorial edifices designed to stifle innovation, enterprise, and thought are exposed or toppled. Fundamentally, the vibe shift is a return to a championing of reality, a rejection of the bureaucratic, the cowardly, the guilt-driven, a return to greatness, courage, and joyous ambition." Yes, can you feel that? Can you feel that, ladies and can you feel it? I feel it. I sense it. Of course, I've been talking about it all this time, but I sense that people are catching on. People are getting hip to it. People are, like, willing to talk about it. People are seeing it as extra cool on these vibes that are changing, and just kind of sick of the whole depressing leftist extinctionist hoax crapola that we've been served up all these years. Can you feel it's just cracking, it's just groaning, and it's creaking, and the pillars of establishment power, I've done segments on that, you can hear them groaning and croaking and creaking, and that has them alarmed. And of course they will have have a furious counter reaction that when tyrants get nervous, and nobody's more nervous than a tyrant, as Alan Watts liked to always say, the guru, the mystical thinker, Alan Watts, he was very good in diagnosing the psychology of tyrants. And so they're going to really have to come out and show us how tyrannical they are the more nervous they get. But at some point, there's two trend lines, you see, and one of them is, you call this trend line, things are weird, but I don't want to offend anyone, contrasted with another trend line, I'm done pretending. And I think the folks are just kind of done pretending. Folks are really getting tired of all the pretending and having to believe all the fake stuff and just not buying the stuff and just seeing the stuff not add up, especially as, yes, the Biden administration, the uniparty Democrats, deep state in power, have screwed the pooch on this country. And I know that's extreme language, I guess you could say, but it's just tongue-in-cheek. That at some point, reality starts to make a comeback, a little revival of reality. You start to be able to see things in front of your face, in front of your eyeballs, in your immediate surroundings. You look around and you see stuff and you feel stuff and you understand stuff and you're going to speak about it. You're going to talk about it. You're going to point it out. And you're not going to let your screen tell you how you're supposed to think about all of these different things, right? I mean, your screen starts to become distrusted by more and more people at some point. So a revival of reality, ladies and gentlemen, a comeback. And I think that we're in this moment, and I think, you know, Biden, like I said, is getting too uncool, too obviously palpably uncool to endorse by the celebrities. That Rock guy, The Rock, goes on, I believe it was Fox the other night, he refused to endorse Joe Biden. Some people say it's because he doesn't want to offend the America First crowd because he's got some kind of a fight thing coming up and he wants them to watch his fight. But some people are real, you know, celebrities want to be cool, and if you endorse Biden, then that makes you deeply and irretrievably uncool. And, you know, meanwhile, Trump's out there selling sneakers like hotcakes. One pair of Trump sneakers just sold for $450,000. That's cool. That sneaker con thing was very interesting. But Redfin has this chart that came out, and Axios, the leftist over at Axios, talked about this. They're talking about in the Biden economy, the top sacrifices people say they've made recently in order to afford housing. And so apparently this is a survey of about 1,500 renters or homeowners conducted February 5th through 28th, 2024 by Redfin. And so 34.5% of the American people surveyed took no or fewer vacations. 22% skipped meals. 20.7% worked additional hours and shifts at their jobs. 20.6% sold their belongings. 17.9% borrowed money from friends and family that will be paid back. 17.6% dipped into retirement savings. 15.6% delayed or skipped healthcare medical treatments. 15.4% worked an extra job. 14.7% worked a side hustle such as Uber driver or food delivery. 14.3% received money from friends or family that is not expected to be paid back. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, that is where reality starts to get in your face. Reality flies out of the sky, lands right on your face, and starts to wiggle. And even some of the most obtuse people out there begin to notice reality when it does that. Wow. Took no or fewer vacations, over a third of the American people in the Joe Biden economy. About one-fifth, over one-fifth, skipping meals, working extra hours. My goodness gracious, folks. And they want to come out and tell you, Barbara Streisand wants to come out and tell you that the Biden economy is just grand. It's just wonderful. Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe it, all these things that you're having to sacrifice, the American people are sacrificing in the Biden economy. Don't believe that stuff. You go to the gas station, you go to the grocery store, you can't afford stuff. You just are wowed by all the inflation we've had. Don't believe the prices you're actually paying for things. You got to believe what Joe Biden tells you. You got to believe what Barbara Streisand tells you. And I don't hear the outro music. We might need to pop that up. At any rate, there it is. Matt Dunn, Backbone Radio. Be right back. Hello, it's Johnny Cash. Run softly, Blue River there. Like to dig up some of the ones you just don't hear all the time. some of the Johnny Cash action. And I got to say this, as we pivot back to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, I had at least a dozen text to studio saying stuff about Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. And I have to tell you, that's a band I'm not familiar with. And I'm a bit of a music guy, right? And so I thought, hey, we ought to play some Herb Alpert. And we had one texter to studio in particular point out a song called The Lonely Bull. And some people are saying, oh, I'll recognize it once we play it. So it's time for a little Herb. And we had John Beck there snag some Herb here. And yeah, caller David in Thornton putting us up to this. I don't know these guys. Who knows this? Who knows this? This is Herb Alpert, huh? Oh, there we go. It sounds like a Rio Bravo kind of trumpet out there in a border town. An air of danger in the air. An air of danger. A vibe, as we talk about the vibe change. Hey, that's pretty good stuff. All right, so that is Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. John, thank you for bringing that up, for bringing that into the mix. And I'll bet you everybody out there, somebody says this, text in, a taste of honey is another one of his popular ones. Right on. So, hey, this is a big blind spot for host Dunn. Just not knowing much about Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. And they sound like they can rock, man. They're not like rocking with Dokken, but they can rock. Herb. Is he the dude with the trumpet? So Herb actually plays. Herb's that guy. Okay. We got that all settled. And by the way, we keep having all these texts to studio. His Great American Eric, one of our foremost African-American conservatives out there, sends in this note. Dr. Dunn, in the kitchen, frying chicken and potatoes and cooking green beans for dinner, and I had to sit my black rear end. He didn't say rear end. I had to sit my black rear end down for a minute, because you are cracking me the hell up. You're funny as hell. You go, boy. Right on, Great American. I hope you are actually able to sit down and have a proper meal this evening. Yeah, I know you know your way around a kitchen. If the burrito action is any reflection of your other skills. But let's be saying some howdies on the telephones. We'll go in order. Thanks for hanging. And we got Steven in Denver. Howdy, Steven. Welcome.
I tell you what, Matt Machine Dunn, an Alan Watts drop, pretty impressive. But right to the point, I was 19 in 1970, and I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, teenager in the 60s. And I tell you what, here's the problem with the Republican Party. The people who run the thing in each local and state district, they're removed. They're not zealots. And the Democrats own the zealots. They own the true believers. And there's nobody more dangerous in life than a true believer in almost anything.
Was it Eric Hoffer wrote that book, The True Believer? Is that a name you recall? Yeah, Eric Hoffer.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that was my original thought. That hurts, Mr. Dunn.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, the problem is, the people who pick the candidates locally, state, and nationally are the problem with Republicans, not us Nebraskans, us Upper Michigan guys. I'm an Upper Peninsula guy. I'm Uper Steve.
You're from the UP. Yeah, John back there did a fist pump from the UP. I've driven around up there quite a bit.
Yeah, you
like pasties? Pasties, however you pronounce it? You ever heard of pasties? Yeah. Is that whatever that food is that they made to take to the mines up there? I think it comes out of Poland or somewhere in Eastern Europe. But
no, we could call it Scotland, Northern, Northern Ireland. Finland.
I was in the UP one time in May, and they still had, I kid you not, like 12 feet of snow on the side of the road. And so you're driving down these two-lane roads, and it's like you're almost driving in a tunnel without a top on the tunnel because you got 12 feet of snow on both sides. But anyway, regarding
dead deer.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
Real quick.
Here's two problems. Oh, let me get these points out.
Okay. Point it out.
Okay. Number one, I'm 19 in 1970, so I thought, abortion. And the problem is that the Republicans, they're fighting a losing battle with this issue, and they need to get their camp under one tent. The other thing is, they despise Trump. I've worked in some very wealthy, exclusive places that I really don't even want to mention right now, but they hated when Trump won. They wanted Hillary to win, and I was just shocked. The thing is, Donald Trump is terrifying the hell out of both sides of the party, both Democrats and Republicans. But the Republicans are to blame. The people who run the local and state things.
Well, let me just weigh in with a point or two real quick, Stephen. But hang on one sec. The Republicans, the people that generally hold office, they're just money people. And they get their next million or billion or whatever from abroad, and it makes them globalists. And they were made millionaires by America. But they've lost sight of that, okay? And Trump comes in there talking about America first and connecting with the middle class and the working class, the people who are patriotic, in spite of it all, about this country. And these millionaires are so detached from reality because they see politics essentially as a cash register, as a money in, money out kind of thing.
Yep.
And those are the people that, essentially become rhinos and attach themselves to the Uniparty and essentially like Biden more than Trump. But they are fringe. I mean, they're a small amount of people. And
but
the vast majority of the Republican voting base is straight up America first MAGA. And if you could de-brainwash a few Democrats out there, they would be straight up America first MAGA as well. The only reason the Democrats, you're saying they're like fanatics and they're like true believers and all that, they're the ones that are actually taking the propaganda literally. They can't seem to snap out of it. But I submit to you that more of them are seeing through CNN and MSNBC and the Russia hoax and the Jussie Smollett hoax and the pipe bombs and J6 kind of stuff. People are snapping out, especially because they're doing all these sacrifices to stay afloat in the Biden economy. And they look back and they go, hey, things were so much better when Trump was around. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. And I think soon when it starts to unfold for them, I think you should lead with John Cougar Mellencamp's song, When the Walls Come Tumbling Down.
Yeah, because I think that's the vibe change. It's kind of an exhilarating feeling.
I just had to vent about how frustrated I am because in 1970, man, I mean, I don't want to go to Vietnam. I got a high number. I was completely on the left. The first guy I ever voted for lost 49 states.
Does that mean LBJ?
No. He quit.
Humphrey?
This 1972, I think it was George McGovern.
You voted for McGovern? Boy, you've come a long way, man. Welcome back.
Well, I was never there.
There we go. That's a little Arctic Lake song. And yes, that's a Colorado band, believe it or not. And some friends of mine went to see them at Red Rocks and said they were pretty cool. Little new age kind of vibey action. Because we are grooving the vibe shift tonight and enjoying every minute of that. I think the old idols are fun. We've been living under all these fake pillars of establishment power. And Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter has really had more impact on this vibe change than you might realize when public opinion is not so easily gagged by Team Biden and the left and the Uniparty. then things start to change, and they can start to change fast, especially when Biden has screwed up the country so badly these past 4 years. And so I am watching this and enjoying every minute of it. By the way, had some text to studio. I can't keep up with them. I'm getting back to everybody, but somebody was saying that thanks for that about pasties, and pasties originate from Wales, I believe, says this texter. My grandfather was an Irish coal miner in Montana in the early 20th century and used to pack them for lunch. My dad would make them occasionally. Interesting pasties. I remember enjoying, we won't play it yet, but we'll bring it up. And I just got the Mellencamp loaded. Yeah, we're going to play that Walls song based on our last conversation. But Herb Alpert, yeah, somebody says, if you're unfamiliar with Herb Alpert, you better look into Tito Puente also. Tito Puente. Tito used to be the dictator of Yugoslavia before they finally got that dude out of there. One of those nasty commie dictator types. But Tito Puente is a whole different Tito. He probably played some kind of brass horn of some kind or another. Anyway, those are just a few of the Textus studio. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. But before the phones, just reading off this quick point. The vibe shift. This is from Santiago Pliego, writing at Substack. The vibe shift looks like ditching childless civilizational nihilism and saying, yeah, having kids is good, actually. Something host Dunn agrees with, father of four littler ones. The vibe shift is the repudiation of homogenizing hyper-globalism and instead intentionally pursuing the communal, the local, and the national. Yeah, it's good to have a country. It's good to have borders, man. Yeah. The vibe shift is the rejection of reality denial and instead embracing that men and women are unique and different. The vibe shift is the refusal to subordinate yourself and your family to the whims and anxieties of activists and bureaucrats and relearning to trust your eyes and your ears. The vibe shift is the rejection of secular liberal materialism and a return to the Christian foundations of the West. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. The vibe shift is taking off the ironic veil that aims to cover the festering wounds of despair and putting on the vestments of seriousness instead. The vibe shift is laughing at those trying to demonize men and cheerfully proclaiming that dudes rock. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The vibe shift is spurning the fake and therapeutic and reclaiming the authentic and the concrete. The vibe shift is a healthy suspicion of credentialism and a return to human judgment. The vibe shift is living not by lies and instead speaking the truth, whatever the cost. The vibe shift is directly facing our tumultuous times, refusing the black pill, and choosing to build instead. Yeah.
This aggression will not stand, man.
Yeah. It's kind of where we are right now, that the vibe shift, the vibe change, and I am here for it. Are you here for it? We're all here for it. We're ready for this. And can you kind of feel it? Something like shaking it off? You know, I feel kind of bad for all the commentators out there that are still having to labor under all the old hoaxes and all the old lies, and they're still having to carry them on their back and still having to put more exclamation points upon them, and they don't believe them anymore. No one believes this stuff anymore, but yet they just don't realize it, right? I mean, can't you feel the tide rolling out on all that stuff? Can't you feel the vibe shift? And again, as I keep pointing out, you can't control the social trends quite anymore without the ability to gag and censor the masses. You know, that's why Trump is the cool factor, folks. The young people are coming out big time, and Carville says this.
You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, particularly black, younger blacks, younger Latinos or whatever, but whatever younger, I don't like younger people of color, particularly males. We're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
They're leaving in the droves. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, but that's just like your opinion, man. But Carville, the old leftist from the Clinton era, is right. Young people, Biden is just too uncool to associate your persona with in any way. You can't even touch that. You say something positive about Biden, and you are immediately uncool for the rest of your existence. There is no escaping it or ever working out of it. It cannot be done. You say something, you like Biden, you endorse Biden, and then you are just permanently uncool. That's what I'm saying. And that's like my opinion, man. And let's say hey to Brian in Arvada. Brian, how are you, my good man?
Dr. Dunn, the wind's driving me nuts. I like rain. I like snow. I like extreme weather, but the wind I can do without.
Well, I hope it's not messing up your hair, Brian, because that's the key thing. You know, you got to stay well coiffed.
Well, it's jamming my hair a little bit. You know, I got that Favio hair going on, so it's floating in all sorts of directions here.
Good. Good. Well done. Just roll with it.
Yeah, but I guess old Bucky boy, you know, he's not going to be a part of the old courage movement. Can you imagine being in trenches with Bucky boy?
Ken Buck?
You out in a New York second.
Ken Buck?
Yeah, Kenny Bucky boy.
Yeah.
Our favorite Colorado sellout who sold his soul.
He went big
with
it. I haven't
seen him on CNN yet. So
that was one heck of a big, abrupt sellout. I mean, he always was kind of doing his rhino stuff, but then he really went big, and now he's gone. Oh, well.
Well, yeah, he wrote the whole book on draining the swamp. He turned out to be the biggest swamp creature there was. I mean, the guy's an embarrassment. What do they say? A coward dies a thousand deaths. He got his hand caught in the cookie jar somewhere along the way, so he sold his soul to the devil. But I guess he's got to deal with that.
Yeah. Bummer. Bummer for Ken.
Oh,
Ken. Hope he had fun doing his thing. But yeah, any other thoughts tonight, Mr. Brian?
Well, did you watch the transgender visibility / Easter Day? Who are these idiots that keep bringing their kids around this creepy, sleepy Joe? I mean, have they heard about the diary of his daughter? She couldn't even take a shower. I mean, the most basic thing on earth, you know, you wake up, hey, I want to freshen up and stuff. Here comes creepy Joe rolling in on you, and you know, that's his daughter. I mean, this guy's a freak.
Yeah,
he's
a weird dude.
Their kids around him.
And
it's
I will
weird.
Say, I'm purposely not reading anything about Ashley Biden's diary, but it appears to be out there and a thing and appears to have traction and appears to be quite an indictment of Joe Biden's character, the shower thing. But that's not the kind of stuff I prefer to look into. So they're going after the people that somehow released the diary or whatever, they're going after those people. I don't know. But remember Senator Bob...
The creepy guy. Could you imagine you wake up in the morning and here comes Daddy rolling in the shower? I mean, this guy's a freak. He's a weirdo. He's a creep.
Yeah, that's
so
Biden.
Keep your kids away from him, okay? I mean, my advice to you.
Are you too old to remember Senator Bob Packwood of Oregon, who was a rhino of the day? But he did something wrong, and he got out of favor with his fellow rhinos. And somehow his diary went public. His diary went public.
Boy.
And he was talking about how he looks at himself in the mirror and looks at his hair and various things. So why is it okay for Bob Packwood's diary to be out and used politically, but not Ashley Biden's? And I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh that day that Packwood's diary came. Somehow that just popped into my head. But Brian... Watch out for the wind, man. Stay undercover. Little Ralph Stanley and Dwight Yoakam taking us back into this segment here, down where the river bends. And sure have been enjoying keeping in touch with folks during the breaks on the text to studio and enjoying the great conversations with callers. And we've been talking about the vibe shift, and I do feel like we're feeling it. And you heard old Carville there just sounding kind of down in the dumps in a Cajun kind of way. But it gets hard to ignore reality. And at some point, people get tired of pretending. And I submit to you, you put your antennae out there and you sense the vibe shift. You can feel the ending of pretending. You just have this sense that millions of Americans awakening to the lies of leftist leadership. Just add it all up, all of the straws on the camel's back. And at some point, the camel just crumbles, right? Like the walls crumble. The old, weird, fake narratives running on fumes. You might call it a refreshing revival of reality. And not a moment too soon. And we had a caller request this one from Jean Cougar Melanchon du Français. When the walls come crumbling down. And is that the one I sent over? Yeah. And should we let it roll under us? Keep it up. Keep it up. But you remember when the Iron Curtain fell? Would that have been 89? The Berlin Wall fell? I don't know. Do you think I'm getting too optimistic? I don't think so, because I sense it. And I think that the people that used to run the narrative are on the defensive. They're playing defense. They're even playing defense on J6 right now. Yeah. And yeah, let's let it roll under us. Let's drop that one down. That's Jean Cougar. And you got to like that one. But I think there's that feeling in the air. Won't it be refreshing? I mean, we have to live with this. It's constant climate change. It's constant. Everything is global warming. You don't want to have kids because they're killing the planet. That mindset. It's the extinctionist mindset of the left, and they're depressing, tiresome memes all the time around the clock. And at some point, you're just going, I'm so sick of this. It's late-stage Western nihilism. And one of the things that Santiago Pliego points out, the vibe shift looks like ditching childless civilizational nihilism and saying, yeah, having kids is good. Actually, that's just part of it. And boy, so thankful Elon Musk bought Twitter. Turned that thing around. Ended the gagging and the censoring and the relentless algorithming. And so thankful and praying for Donald Trump, who just keeps in there and keeps on going for it. And is running like a perfect campaign. It's just his primary was so well done. Gosh, he just smoked everybody, and everything he did and said, it was just perfect. Amazing. I mean, and he's even doing it now. I mean, look at the way that it played out with that fundraiser. Biden gets his $25 million. They're all crowing about it. Trump's at the funeral service for New York Police Department hero Officer Diller. And he doesn't do that for show, as the Diller family knows. He does that to be right in there. He's a New Yorker. Trump's a New Yorker. And Trump, if anything, has fought against that wide open border, put up that wall. And too bad people like Mitch McConnell and Rhino Paul Ryan were trying to block and thwart him every step of the way on that border that Trump tried to protect. And he did. Things were going well. Trump had to fight the rhinos as hard as he had to fight the Democrats to get that job done. But Biden has thrown that thing wide open with a fury, with a vengeance, which is just part of the weirdness of the cult of people on top. I mean, they're so darn weird and in your face with all this nutty stuff all the time. But let's get to the phones, and here's Joe. Joe in Littleton. Welcome, Joe.
Ah, thanks. Hi, Matt.
Howdy.
I thought this was interesting. You've been talking about how people are coming aboard and seeing waking up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dr. Phil, I don't usually typically watch daytime or anything, but he just decided to come to nighttime prime. And he wrote this book called We've Got Issues.
I saw that book. Yeah.
Yeah, this is really interesting. So now what he's doing, he's trying to reach the nighttime audience with dads and that kind of thing, and not just moms. So he addressed, this was just really interesting to me. He addressed schools, that gender stuff, borders, immigration, word control. What do they call that? Something speak? You know, when they try to twist the words?
Some Orwellian term you're talking about?
Yeah.
Doublespeak?
Doublespeak. Yeah, doublespeak, that's it. And so he went through it, but he didn't take very long on each of these. I think he's just kind of easing people into this. But what kind of surprised me is when they scanned the audience several times, and the people's reaction, like, to me, how I interpret it was, I had no idea. Like, they had no idea that this stuff was happening. So I'm so thrilled to see him. I think he can reach some people who haven't opened up to this.
I think he can, too, and I think he's been doing it all the way along, and I think that's why the unelected, unaccountable deep state people and why the lazy politicians that have been in power for so long, you know, they're scared. They're nervous, and they feel their power. And that's a point that Roger Kimball makes this morning over in the American Greatness publication about you can expect a furious counter-reaction to this vibe shift, okay? And they're going to really, you know, be pulling out all the stops. But that's where I say, anything strange happens between now and November, we know exactly where to look, right? It's the deep staters, it's the uniparty. But we can't sit around, like, in fear of that. We just have to know that they can be defeated, and they need to be defeated. It's just what has to happen, right?
Right. But, Matt, what I thought I really liked about it is that a lot of people, I mean, tons of people respect him. He gets a huge amount of viewership. And I think that they will really see, I think he's speaking truth here. So the ones that are a little slower to wake up, hopefully he reaches them.
Well, Dr. Phil's, his new book is called We've Got Issues, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I actually thumbed through that book in a bookstore the other day, and I was wondering, I kind of got a sense that Dr. Phil is not all on board with the current regime kind of thing. You know, he's not all on board with the way the left is running the show.
Not at all.
And
he's
I didn't read it in enough detail to really get a clear sense of it, else I probably would have snapped it up and bought it, come home with it. But that's your sense, that he's open to another way, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And he's really a Christian man. He actually went with this network. It's called Merritt Street. He made his own production here. But he's with TBN, which is a Christian Trinity broadcasting station. But you can pick it up here in Colorado on 38.2, I think it is. That's where it comes through when I'm watching it. But I just like the way he's doing it. He's doing it in a calm way. He's making people think through.
Good for Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
I guess his last name is McGraw.
Yes,
somehow, I never knew his last name because he just goes by Dr. Phil.
Check it out if you can sometime. I think you might like it.
Apparently it's one L in Phil, Dr.
Right.
Phil, P-H-I-L.
It's 6 at night here in Denver on 38.1.
Right on. Well, Joe, thanks for the tip on that one. Let's look out for some Dr. Phil action, and we'll be right back.